Friday night free for all.
Wow.
The Bikini Hockey League, the ultimate dream team, on a quest to show the most compelling sport of our time. They are ready. The players are ready. Are you ready? The Bikini Hockey League, building not just a team, not just a league, but an entirely new sports experience. Follow the league as it works through struggles, triumphs, and reality.
A hockey league coming to Tulsa is turning heads. That's right, the girls will be wearing bikini tops while pushing around the puck. They are on inline skates and will play both indoors and out.
Yes, they will. They'll be playing everywhere. And guess what, boys and girls? Tonight is going to be for both of you. We're not discriminating here. And also, just to be really fair, we have a blonde and a brunette. So we have both important hair colors. My favorite are redhead, but you know, what can I say? You can't have everything, you know? Let me introduce our two guests, Heather Josie Moore and Aaron Honto. Josie's the blonde, Aaron's the brunette. Oh, wait, this is radio. That doesn't work. Anyway. So, ladies, let's begin by talking about first how, Heather, you first, how did you get involved in the Bikini Hockey League?
You know, mine was a little bit by accident. I'm a hockey mom, so for anybody that's not familiar with the BHL, I'm the oldest, least experienced member of the group. And I was doing some modeling for Sauce Hockey, and I had a little incident on the ice with the Coyote Shovel crew where I'd been locked out in a prank, got fired. So the next transition, all my Facebook followers thought I should do was this, and I posted it on my wall, and I thought, well, maybe they might need a little mom for the mix. So I submitted my application, and before I knew it, I was just introduced to the best group of people I've ever met.
And one of the better members of the group is Aaron Honto. I understand you guys are basically joined at the hip.
We are. Aaron, you're the best. I couldn't live without you. I mean, I feel like I'm a little codependent on you. I mean, we had a little rocky start at first because we were teasing each other on social media before we became codependent. But I think we're just destined to be friends. Like I always say, we're two circles that overlap, a black and a white with a whole lot of gray.
Yeah, she's the yin to my yang. So.
So how did you get started, Aaron?
I actually got started because one of the guys that I used to play hockey with back in Detroit got a hold of me, and he found it online, and he's like, you got to do this. He's like, you're out in New York, you're modeling, and they're looking for hockey players who can skate and that are pretty. He's like, and it's you on a silver platter. So I sent in my application, and like she said, next thing you know, they got back to me. I was doing like the real world, like weird interview thing with them on Skype, and found out on my birthday that, yeah, it was good that they took me. So it was probably the best thing that could have ever happened.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about both your histories. Heather, born, raised?
I was born in New York City, actually, and I lived there till I was 10. I think I might have actually done ice skating a little teeny tiny bit as a kid on some ponds. Nothing that I really remembered except the skates were pretty and I liked them because they were figure skates. And then I was raised in Arizona. Since then, so the last 30 years I've been here, and as far as the skating, my son and I decided to go see the movie The Tooth Fairy 3 years ago, and that got us on the ice.
That was on TV today, by the way, Heather, so I watched it.
I didn't see it.
So you watched The Tooth Fairy? Are you gonna,
we thought we're really good skiers and snowboarders, and I know skating is not the same, but somehow in my head I thought, hey, Dylan, we're good at this. Let's try skating. And we were not so good our very first day, but we were addicted our first day. So we couldn't stop, and that was that.
Well, we should also send out the Tooth Fairy star. At least you're talking about Tooth Fairy 1, not 2. Tooth Fairy 1 was Daryl Johnson. He's in the hospital. I think he has a hernia or something. He's been operated. He's fine. Daryl, get better.
Get better.
Otherwise known as The Rock.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, Aaron, your little bit
my
of history.
Background, let's see, born and raised in South Detroit, just like the Journey song. My mom tried putting me in figure skating. I believe I was 3 going on 4, and I screamed bloody murder. Like, there's pictures of me in, like, this awful bunny suit sitting there just screaming on the ice because all the boys in my neighborhood played hockey, and I wanted to play hockey, too. It was probably the proudest moment of my dad's life, so he stuck me in and learned to play hockey, like, a week later. And turns out I was a lot taller and better than a lot of the little boys growing up, so they always moved me up. And then I went and started playing. I played men's AA most of my life. Girls AAA, I moved over to girls when I was about 13. Won 5 state championships for AAA hockey out of Michigan. Made the junior Olympic camp at Lake Placid. Did nationals a few times, came third to nationals, and that was pretty much it. I had a little knee injury, so I never played in college, but I got back on the ice 6 months later after that and was playing, you know, men's in Michigan up until I came out here to New York, where I was still playing with a lot of, you know, great groups of people out here in New York as well. So.
All right, so you have a steep hockey background, which basically Heather was alluding to, is that she doesn't have that much of experience, but I think she makes up for it with excited nature.
That's right. And I get a little aggressive out there, don't I?
She really does. And that's the thing, is that, like I said, she's the yin to my yang, but we have this overlapping gray area that she talks about where – like, her and I, like, she'll rub off on me where I'm like, I'll actually call her for fashion advice and beauty, you know, beauty tips occasionally. And then she'll get out on the ice with me, and she will absolutely just destroy somebody and get so aggressive. And I'm, like, sitting there, like, I'm the proud mom. I'm like, I am so proud. Like, I've contributed to this, and I love it so much. She's a little feisty out there, and I love it because I'm the brute, and I take pride in being the brute. And when I see her get... when I see her get aggressive out there, it does. It makes me happy.
Well, she doesn't
seem...
I can't
help it.
I realize that. I saw video evidence of you blocking a shot with your tummy.
And I have goalie empathy. No one's going to touch my goalie. Get out of my house.
And you did it. You didn't try to get out of the way? And after
no, I
you
stepped
got,
in front of it.
I know. And after you got hit, it was like nothing happened.
Well, you have that adrenaline going. And I did have a 9.5-pound baby, so there's that. What's a little puck, for God's sake? So it just bought me more time to take it back to the other end.
Okay. I feel bad already. So my history is I'm calling you from a place called Mississauga, which is right beside Toronto.
I know Mississauga very well. I grew up, I spent a lot of time in Mississauga in that neighborhood, so I love it.
Did you?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I grew up in Detroit. So Toronto, Brampton, Brantford, Mississauga, Hamilton, London. Those were all my stomping grounds growing up. So.
Oh, my goodness. In that case, then, I better not send you a picture of me. Anyway, like I've got something to worry about. Anyway, so basically then, you guys have a lot of fun. How many teams are in the Bikini Hockey League? Or how many
were?
Do you
want to know that one, Aaron?
Go ahead. You can do that.
You know, we have enough to make up 6 teams. We had so many people that wanted to be a part of it, and they took a bunch of girls from the United States, Canada. Right now, they're still formulating the teams. We've got a lot of exciting things that I would love to share with you guys, but because of the whole reality show aspect and production, we have to keep a little bit mum for now. But we do have enough girls for 6 teams, and we keep in touch through emails. Everybody gets their weekly goals and assignments depending on what position they play. We give out nutrition tips. We give out media tips. And so we stay in touch through that. So everybody's kind of like an all-star team. They get to practice and do their things at home so that when we're called to play, we'll get somewhere, you know, a few days before, come together and just put it all together on that one game time.
All right. So then it's let's flesh out then what we can about this reality show. It is in the production side right now?
We have producers shopping it. So we've got a couple that are looking at us, and we haven't decided who we're going with just yet. We do have one sizzle reel out there, but I think you guys are going to be seeing a few more interesting trailers, and hopefully we get to see a little bit more of that fight, since there was only one fight that actually took place, and it was Nicey Pants meet.
Oh, boy. Why are you always... Never mind. I just know that wherever you go, trouble's going to follow. I'm beginning to sense that. Now, we met totally by accident. And
that's true.
Right? And you are in Phoenix right now. When you refer to the Valley, are you referring to Phoenix?
When I refer to the Valley, I mean the whole kind of metropolitan area. Phoenix is very spread out. So we're not like New York where we're compact, but just like New York City has the five boroughs, you know, it's Queens and Brooklyn and all that, we have outer lying cities that make up the Valley. So I'm technically in Scottsdale right now, but I can drive 3 miles and be in Phoenix.
That's one of the older places, right? One of the Scottsdale.
You know, Scottsdale has a rich tradition, but it's built up a lot. And so it kind of has a little bit of a rep of being Snotsdale. Kind of like a little bit the Beverly Hills of Arizona, but
absolutely.
That's not me.
No, I can tell that. The important thing to get out of this, the Phoenix Coyotes, that's how we met. I was amazed by your loyalty to the Phoenix Coyotes. That and originally this show, I didn't know about the Bikini Hockey League part, as you know.
Oh, wow.
What we were talking about was you being a fan of Phoenix and a very loyal fan of Phoenix.
Definitely.
And proud of the fact that many of you are out there rooting for your team on Facebook in one of the hockey rooms, one of the hockey pages, groups, whatever.
That's right.
And that's how I met you. And then you started telling me some stuff that you do, and I'm going, you know, I do a radio show that would be fun on Friday. I do the Canadian Football League on Wednesday. I do the History Canadian Football League on Monday, and on Friday, we do a thing called the Toronto Rock. Do you know anything about lacrosse?
I don't know anything about lacrosse other than that it's tough. You have to be really tough. So I liken it to hockey a little bit in that sense.
Absolutely. And that's what we do on Friday. We do an open topic. And today, this is the open topic, what we're doing today. But we're going to give up some of the lacrosse time because, really, they haven't played for 2 weeks. This Sunday is their first playoff game.
Oh, wow.
For the championship. So Toronto is playing their first playoff game. So we'll be previewing that. It won't take much time. So we've got a great story here that I'd like to talk about. You know, what's amazing and I find, I think, gratifying for you guys is the camaraderie, like you said, that you put together. You really do get close and you really do build up, you know, a relationship with the gals that you play with, don't you?
Oh,
we really do. And the thing is, too, is like with any team I've been on, whether it's guys or girls, there's always that team bonding experience where they're your friends, they're your family. And the same thing goes with the Bikini Hockey Girls. Like, I was terrified when we first went out to Tulsa, Oklahoma to start filming because I'm like, I'm going to go live in a house with 10 girls. I'm like, I can't even live with one girl. I'm such a tomboy out there. And I'm like, it's like being on a girls hockey team again, because it really is. And I'm like, they're my teammates and my family, and I would do anything for these girls. And I really do mean that. So, yeah, we're a family, we're a team, and it's wonderful.
We cried when we left each other. We were all bawling. I mean, like, it was only 4 days, but those 4 days of 4 hours of practice and all the media events we had to do, it's so bonding.
And it's great, too. I have the privilege, like, with Heather, like I said, you said we're attached at the hip, that I do get to go and do promotions and commentary and, you know, games and stuff. So Heather's one of the people that I do get to see a lot more than I do some of the other girls. But we do. I have a few girls on the East Coast. Like, one of them was just in town for a Rangers game. I got to see her. And we have a couple of the East Coast girls I met up with, skated with. So it's good that I get to see some of them, but not nearly enough.
But it is something that you stay in contact, like I noticed on Facebook or by telephone, and you're really connected. I guess you're much of the connection that you have now is because while you're not concentrating on what you're doing together, you're doing the little things, as you said. I think it was you, Heather, that mentioned that you're given responsibilities and you work on those responsibilities. You call each other to say if there's a problem with your responsibility to get help from the other.
Absolutely, we have a weekly conference call where we have six different areas, you know, someone who focuses on offense, defense, goalie, off-ice, nutrition, media, I think, is that, did I name off six? I think those are all the areas, right, Erin?
Yeah, you got all the areas.
Yeah, and so in all those areas, we each have a conference call, and somebody's in charge of each area so that we can email the rest of the girls. But if they have any problem, we also have someone in their regional area that they can talk to. And Erin's in charge of making sure we're all keeping us the glue all together. But it's really been a great system to help all of us communicate and stay on top of everything.
It sounds, and I'm only saying this because it only sounds like it, and please forgive me if I'm jumping to conclusions, but it almost sounds like the World Wrestling Federation where, and I'm not saying that you're totally, it's a total act and it's a total orchestration, but there is the fact that you have to have the basics, and since you're not playing every day, there's got to be a way to build on your basics, and I guess that's how you do it. That would be the motivation?
Well, a lot of us do play in leagues. I know the Women's National Championship just happened out in California. A lot of us do play in other teams in our area, and whether we're in inline leagues or we're in NARCH or we're playing, you know, just with a state team or a girls' women's team, a lot of the girls are on men's teams out in their areas and stuff too. A lot of us are still playing hockey on teams. We're just not necessarily playing with our Bikini Hockey League teammates.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like, I know this is going to sound really trite on one level, but being as though I'm not the one who's the huge athlete of the group, although I'm super athletic, when I was a cheerleader, we were on all-star cheer, and you had to practice your routines at home with your home squad, but everybody knew their position. So then when you were called to perform where everyone across the country was brought out to do an all-star cheer routine, well, you just all knew it. And, you know, as much as we like to make fun of cheerleaders a little bit, if somebody messes up on a cheer squad where you're throwing people in the air, someone could die. So, I mean, I feel like we're all really great athletes. We all practice by, like you said, Erin, in our home teams. And I know I'm on doing something hockey every single day because of my son, literally every day.
You really are. Every time I talk to her, she's going to the rink or she's skating or she's actually getting off the ice to do an interview and get back on the ice. And this girl basically, if she's not working or doing something with her kid, like usually, she, like she said, she is always at the rink.
Well, I also read in her bio that if she stops doing something for a week or 10 days, she soon may need to go get new clothes because they're getting kind of tight. Now, I've seen pictures of you. I'm not quite sure that clothes getting a little bit tighter, a handicap for a good-looking woman like you. But, you know, who am I to tell? What do I know?
It's really funny you say that, and thank you. But it's funny this morning because I had to put on a dress that had a little bit more stretch to it because the tailored things were just – Dylan was like, oh, Mom, we're getting ready for work and school. And he's like, you know, you look great. You know you're not fat. He goes, but you're a little fluffy. He goes, nothing that a week of skating won't take off. He goes, but you two are not on the ice as much. He's like, you're starting to have a little bit of a Kim Kardashian butt. I'm like, what?
Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah, that's a blonde kid of hers. It's great. But you know what the thing is that me and Heather always make jokes about, too, is that her and I are obsessed with just, you know, whether it's cupcakes or chocolate or candy or Dunkin' Donuts. Her and I are probably the worst people when it comes to nutrition. So, like, even when I said one of the departments that, you know, the BH girls, BHL girls do take care of is nutrition, her and I are the worst on that. I must admit, we skate so much that you can always tell, like, you know, growing up, I was so, so bad about, I was always going to and from school in the rink, and my rink was an hour and a half away. So, like, I basically lived on fast food growing up. Like, now I actually cook and stuff like that because I do have a little bit more time. But, yeah, I'm still really bad with the sweets. So if I'm not skating, you can definitely tell, too.
Yeah, and I had a birthday with a lot of treats involved and donuts and a lot of goodies. So in that 10-day period with a little less skating and a little more treats, you know, things can get a little tight, especially if you wear your clothes really tight like I do.
Well, you know what? Why don't we take a short little break, and we'll take a longer break down the road, ladies. We're with two Bikini Hockey League players, Heather Josie Moore and Erin Honto. They're more than just bikini hockey players. There's other things we can talk about. We've been talking about the fact that their bodies deteriorate from time to time. So I guess this is a good break that we'll take right here, and we'll be back after this.
I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and gay. And I pity any girl who's in need today. I
charming. It's alarming how charming I feel. And so pretty that I hardly can believe I'm real. See the pretty girl in that mirror there, looking at a plentiful beam. Such a pretty face, such a pretty dress, such a pretty smile, such a pretty beam. I feel stunning and entrancing, feel like running and dancing for joy. For I'm loved by your pretty, wonderful boy.
Pretty! I'm so pretty, so pretty. Let's play part two. I like that one so much, I'm going to play the second part too.
Have you met my good friend Maria, the craziest girl on the block? You know her the minute you see her. She's the one who is in an advanced state of shock. She thinks she's in love, she thinks she's insane.
La, la, la.
She isn't in love, she's merely insane. It must be the heat, or some rare disease,
la, la, la.
Or too much to eat, or maybe it's sleep. Keep away from her, the poor Gino. This is not the Maria we know. Modest and pure, all like every mind. Well bred and mature, and out of her mind.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live. Tonight, the Bikini Hockey League stars are here, Heather Josie Moore and Aaron Honto. And joining us shortly will be Aaron Freelander with his Toronto Rock Report. We got about 11 minutes before that happens, but we're going to treat these ladies as regular guests on the show because I find them both so erudite. And why are we laughing?
That's a what? Fancy word. I have a pretty extensive vocabulary, and I love that.
You love that word? I love that word.
I like
word.
It a lot.
It just means I'm full of shit, that's all.
Awesome. Totally a lot of times.
He has a book of words in front of him. I love it.
No, actually, that's a word that came through my head. I didn't have to cheat for that one. All right, we left before the break about how it is a challenge, and you've highlighted one of the biggest problems that women try. And you know what? It's not just women, too, because I'm one of those people. Let's say I was in shape and I played hockey and did all the stuff you did, and when you stopped playing for a week to 10 days, clothes start getting tight. For me, I haven't, in my math works, I probably haven't played in years. So
wow.
Let's not talk about tight clothes. because I have a better solution than you. I just buy new clothes. I just give
That's
up
great.
And buy new clothes. Yeah, we were talking about the difficulty of, you know, taking care of oneself. You know, nowadays we had the conversation, Heather, and I'm sure, well, I shouldn't say I'm sure, but with Aaron, you know, there's all these challenges. Aaron, you're a little younger. I'm not going to ask you your age, but you're a little younger than Heather, I assume.
Oh, I'll say it. I'm 28. I'm about to turn 29 in June, so if anybody wants to send birthday presents, they can send them to Brooklyn for me. So,
is that where you are, in Brooklyn?
I am in Brooklyn, New York. I'm in Williamsburg with all my hipsters and fantastic beers and artists alike around here. I love it.
Oh, well, that's where my sister lived for a while.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no one out here knows hockey, though. So that's one thing I've learned. Nobody in Williamsburg knows hockey. I think there's one sports bar in the 150 bars in my, like, block. So.
Well,
wow, really?
It's very artsy and eclectic out here, and it's a fantastic neighborhood, and it's clean, and I love it, and I love our apartment. They know nothing about sports. If a hockey stick or a hockey puck could hit them in the face, and they have no idea what it is.
Well, I'm
that
sure you'll be
my
teaching.
Mind.
I know.
Well, you do have the Islanders within a year or 2 years, they'll be moving to Brooklyn.
I'm very excited for that. They're going to be over at Barclays, which is a fantastic arena. I've seen the Brooklyn Nets play there a few times. And my issue with the Islanders is that I actually wanted to try out to be – we're going to go on this one, Heather. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I want to be an ice girl for the Islanders so bad, but they have one very just horrible rule that just eats at me. They will not allow hockey skates on the ice. And – you have to wear figure skates to be an ice girl there. And if you look at the Kings girls, most of them are hockey players and they wear hockey skates. One of our fellow bikini hockey girls is also an ice girl, and she's a goalie, and she wears her goalie skates on the ice. And the Islanders will not allow it. It irks at me so bad that I cannot be an ice girl because I refuse to put on figure skates. I don't do toe picks. So
yeah.
There goes my dream of being an ice girl.
Well, it might change because the attitudes on the island may differ from those. Although you've discussed Williamsburg with us, but Brooklyn proper, I don't think is as uppity as Manhattan
or
New York, the island.
Brooklyn is very, very hardcore. I love Brooklyn. Even when we go over to Barclays, I'm like, that is the one arena. If you go to any other arena, you can hear the same like music over and over again, the We Will Rock Yous and all that stuff. And you go to Brooklyn and you go to a Nets game or any event there whatsoever, there, all they play is Jay-Z, Biggie, and Beyonce on repeat. They even have, like, a hip-hop DJ come in for their halftime shows. It's the only place I've ever seen that happen. I think it's awesome and hilarious. It's so Brooklyn.
You have to come to Toronto and watch a basketball game there.
Oh, there we go. You know what? One of my good friends just moved back to Toronto, and he is a Raptors fan, so maybe.
Yep.
Uh-oh, no trip.
Heather, are you still here?
I'm still here.
Okay, let's move over. Let's move over to Phoenix and the Phoenix Coyotes. One of the reasons why we were talking before was because the Phoenix Coyotes obviously were in the process of either making the playoffs or not, and it didn't work out for them. Tell us, because here in Toronto and Mississauga, and I'm sure I am positive that Aaron understands this. We look at hockey differently, or at least we think hockey's different. The experience here is far different than the experience there in Phoenix, much like the experience would be in Detroit, in Michigan.
Well, in Phoenix, you know what, they're actually – I mean, you guys have – they usually win a lot more than they do in Toronto, except for this season. So that's something to start with.
All right, that's kind of a that's kind of a low blow, isn't it?
I'm really proud for you guys. Somebody sent me a picture of a street sign that said "Hell" on it with ice on it. They're all like, "That's right, guys. Toronto made it this year, so hell has frozen over."
Oh, I'm not going to pick on anybody. I mean, we have our desert dogs, and all. One thing I definitely like to do is talk about how much I love my team, but I will not, you know, it's really hard for me to throw other teams under the bus, obviously, just because we're our little desert dogs and, you know, we don't get a ton of respect. But even if we were the best team in, you know, the NHL, I just don't think that's good manners. So I don't like to play like that. Unless you attack me, then forget it, all bets are off.
Well,
I don't either, except for Toronto, because they were just such an easy target for years. But you guys, you know, I'll give you this. Your fans were always so loyal, no matter how awful your team was. You guys always sold the most seats, had the highest, you know, when it came to merchandise, everything, all the highest sales, everything. I know that for a fact, it always came out of Toronto. So you guys were always amazing, loyal fans. And I happened to games in Toronto, and they were always class act. So I'll give you guys that.
Aww.
I just gave a compliment.
Yay. Good job, Aaron.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The thing of it is in Toronto, and please don't take this the wrong way. This place is underserved when it comes to hockey, and we have no choice. It's like, you know, I don't know how to compare it. I mean, if there's a certain type of makeup you like, and there's only enough for half of you,
right?
You know, that's basically the Toronto experience. You know. But, you know, hopefully it'll change. You know, our last American guy that ran the team into the ground, Burke. Now we got a new American guy that they hired from AEG, which comes all the way from L.A. The guy that ran the L.A. Kings and all the sports teams there and ran AEG is now, Lewicki is here in Toronto now. He just got signed here because AEG is getting basically sold by Auschwitz, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
that's correct.
So, you know, things are going to change.
Well, that'll be exciting for you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it really will be. And I wish you guys, I'm super stoked for you guys. I don't know, did you actually see the Wikipedia page that somebody changed on your goalie, which I think we were talking about the other day?
Yeah.
I'm so happy I actually have it. I can find it for you. But it was about Reimer.
what is it, being compared to Alphonse.
The second coming or something of Christ.
Oh, my God. No, I don't think he is. I'm glad that some people think that he is. But, in fact, all I look at it, the way I look at sports is much like the way you play the game. You love the game. You want it to come to you. You don't have to go to it. You know, mm-hmm. you want to enjoy it. You don't want it to be a job. You know, you want to be able to much like what you said, Heather, you don't want to throw anybody under the bus. You enjoy the game, but you do get in the moment, right?
Absolutely.
So we all have it. What I don't appreciate are the fans who, for example, this is just an example, that go onto Facebook and, like you said, insult other teams. It's not good enough to enjoy the game. It's almost as if these people, the enjoyment they get out of the game is basically putting people down, which
I
am totally against.
And I think that more than anything, too, especially in social media circles and stuff. You know what? When hockey comes to hockey, and like I said to you, I was hanging out with some of my friends that are Rangers the other night or last night, and they know that I am a diehard Red Wings fan, but they are all wonderful people, and I love spending time with them, and I support them all. And a few of them are actually from up in your neighborhood in Hamilton that I was with last night. And they're just, I love and respect, you know, the players in the game. We were talking playoffs coming up and how they might be playing against, you know, Boston versus Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's just not, nobody says anything negative about any of the players on any of the other teams. And I wish a lot of the fans would do the same.
I do too, because I think they forget, you know, having been, I think you can relate to this too, Aaron. When you've been a personality in modeling or whether you're an athlete or whatever, it's very easy for the public to objectify and not realize, hey, this person's a father, a brother, a son, a dad. You know, we're still people. So when you sit there and you throw these athletes under the bus, you forget who you're really talking about. And I dare anyone, I would love anyone to, before they throw someone under the bus for playing, you get out there and be in the NHL and see how easy you think it is to do that kind of work under that kind of pressure.
It's very difficult, and these are human beings, and sometimes I think what happens is we build them past being human, and then
right.
Not only do we treat them like gods, then we treat them like the opposite of whatever a god is.
Exactly.
You know, build them up to bring them down.
Yeah,
we are,
I know.
So philosophical. This is the best show ever.
I know. I'm actually, this is a great, great time. Thank you so much for having us on. But yeah, I agree with you completely on that. And they are humans, but they are amazing athletes, and they're talented, and you know, the fans are the fans, and, you know, love them, hate them, whatever. But at the same time, just remember, you know, they're all people at the end of the day. And
I tell hockey parents that, too. That I think sports parents can also be just as bad, living vicariously through their children and yelling at their kids to skate, shoot the puck, do this, and none of them have even played hockey or even put on a pair of ice skates. And, like, really? Let me see you get out there, skate, be in charge of a puck, know where all your teammates are, and see how well y'all do.
The one thing that I always loved too about my parents, my father, is he's like, I never had to say anything because you were always just so hard on yourself that they never ever put me down. But I was always, I tore myself a new butthole back up, you know, back of a butt all the time. And even if I would score, if I had a great game, I'd always pick apart that one thing I did wrong. And so just to have supportive parents that never did that. And even when I didn't go back and play, you know, in college again and stuff, that they're just always supported. So, yeah, it's great. You know, like, you guys get out there and do it. It's probably the hardest sport you could ever think of. And we do it in a bikini.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and look hot while you do it, too, boys, because, I mean, we play the same game as our male counterparts, both ice and roller, and then we have to have our eyelashes and our hair perfect as well.
I don't understand. I don't speak makeup language, but I have four daughters, no sons. So I have
your work cut out for you.
So
you almost have a team there.
almost. I do have a team. It's them five against me.
Perfect. I love it.
And she stands alone. I love it.
But that's cool with me. I'm going to give Aaron a call right now and drag him into this. And he'll pick up the phone, hopefully.
Hello?
Aaron.
Hey, Frank.
How's it going? I've got two ladies on here, the Bikini Hockey League. You had a chance to do some research?
I did have a chance to do some research, and I've been listening to the show. Heather, Aaron, great to meet you.
Great to meet you, Aaron.
I introduced you as the brains of this operation.
Oh, good God, no. Ladies, I know you were having fun before. This is where it gets a little more interesting, because he brought in me for the free-for-all.
Well, now, ladies, do you mind being partners in listening to The Rock? And then we'll continue, like I said, on that schedule, 11 o'clock. We'll go back to a little – well, we'll take a few minutes here anyway to talk about The Rock. Like I said earlier, off the air, the team's about to play their first playoff game of 2013. They finished first overall of all the teams in the NLL, so they will have home court or home floor advantage throughout the playoffs. And, Aaron, you can pick it up from there.
Right. Well, it looks like it's going to be a really, really interesting weekend. We're going through divisional semifinals right now. We've got the Philadelphia Wings facing off against the Rochester Nighthawks on Saturday. Now, that game is at 5 o'clock at Blue Cross Arena. You can pick up the game on the Lacrosse Network on YouTube. That's going to be a live feed. Also on Saturday, you have the Edmonton Rush playing the Washington Stealth. That's coming to you live from Comcast Arena out in Everett, Washington. That's going to be at 9:30 Eastern Time. The Colorado Mammoth are going to be playing the Calgary Roughnecks again on Saturday at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. That's going to be live from Scotiabank. You can also catch that through YouTube streaming. And then the last game for this weekend is going to be the Minnesota Swarm versus the Toronto Rock at 3 p.m. at the Air Canada Center. That is going to be carried by Fox. It's going to be carried by Fox Sports North. I believe CBS is going to be picking that up as well, and TSN2. So we've got full court press for the Rock game on Sunday. The others are going to be available online.
So Where does this team stand right now? Do you think they're ready to take a good run?
I got to be honest with you, I'm a little nervous at this point, mainly because of the fact that they've been laid off. They had a bye week for the final week of the season, so there may be a little rust when they come out. The Rock are actually one of the older teams in the league, physically speaking. They're going up against a very young and a very fast Minnesota Swarm squad. The first time we played them in Toronto, we beat them 13-12. 3 weeks later, we go to their barn, and they beat us 13-12 in overtime. Unless we've got the legs going, it's going to be very, very difficult.
Now, the team, by finishing first, proved that they had the ability to at least handle every team to some degree.
So, well, this is true. However, they kind of backed into first place. If they'd won their last game, then they would have definitely sealed it in. But they kind of backed into first place by default, thanks to a couple other teams just in the last week of the season. The teams that were really challenging at that particular point in time, thank goodness, ended up with the results that they did. Otherwise, it would have been slightly messier. There were three teams that were challenging us for first, and that's Calgary, Washington, and Edmonton, all over in the Western Division.
Mm-hmm.
So that tightens it up a little bit. There's a bit of a pucker factor involved there. This year, they changed the playoff format, too, so we're looking at a crossover. What we're seeing is Rochester playing Philadelphia, which is a straight-up Eastern Division matchup, and then you have Minnesota crossing over into the East Division to play Toronto because they finished ahead of the Buffalo Bandits this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the tickets are available still for the game, and we're going there. Jarrett's got my ticket already.
Excellent.
Yeah. Around here, girls, we pay to go to the game. That's the way the media works here.
That's terrible. You're so entertaining. I was just sure that you could somehow get some tickets for being just you.
Oh, you're so sweet. You know, you're looking better every time I hear you.
Yeah, I'm safe for radio.
I definitely have a face for radio. Aaron, ladies, you have any questions about the game? Is there anything that you've ever been curious about as far as lacrosse? Heather, you said it's a pretty tough game. You realize
you know,
that.
Yeah,
so you've seen it.
I actually, you know, the guys from Bar Down Hockey, they are really great to me, and I actually might be doing some photo shoots with them, but they do lacrosse as well. So when I get their gear and their catalog, I'm always intrigued because, honestly, the only experience I have with lacrosse is I'm so embarrassed to say, watching Teen Wolf on MTV. I think my little guy is actually going to try some lacrosse at our rink this summer because they have three sheets of ice, and in the summer they turn one sheet into turf and they do lacrosse on it. So I'm excited to learn more.
Yeah, I have a couple friends out here that play lacrosse, and the first experience I have, I was out at Dartmouth College for hockey back, I think I was like 16, 17, and it's so huge out there, like, you know, in that area. And they gave me a couple of cross sticks. They're like, come on, let's go out and play. And for me, I'm like, I am great with a hockey stick. I have a great slap shot. I take pride in that. But there are two sports that hockey players, they say they're easy for them to adapt that I just can't do. And one is lacrosse and one is golf. Like, I'm Happy Gilmore out there. I can't do it. I cannot
me
do it.
Me too.
So, Heather, here's a question for you. How
play with the golf for me. I don't know why. Slap shot's fine, but for some reason that golf club, I don't know what to do with those boobs.
So. Sir, I've actually got a question for you.
The phones just went off. I got 9 million phone calls now, and all of them are saying one thing in the chat room. I know what to do with them. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Aaron. Your shot, buddy.
It's all good. Heather, I had a quick question for you. I was wondering how long you'd been with the Yotes.
Oh, you know, I actually just had a brief stint shoveling ice for the Coyotes, and it was cut short by a prank where I got locked out on the ice during a sold-out Canucks game. So even though I had locked myself out, somebody had to take the fall, and that was me.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's unfortunate.
Oh, no, it was hilarious.
So the only reason I asked,
ball moment.
Arizona actually had a professional lacrosse team from 2004 until 2007 called the Arizona Sting.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That does sound familiar now that you mentioned that.
Yeah, they had a really funky logo, too. It was a great tan and maroon jersey with a gigantic scorpion on the front. It was awesome. Now they
that
actually,
was awesome.
They played The Rock actually in 2005 in the Champions Cup final. That was actually the single highest attendance for any lacrosse game in National Lacrosse League history. There were over 19,000 fans in the Air Canada Center for that.
You know what? I'm going to pull that out of the party and look so smart.
No, it's actually really funny. I know you guys were talking about the Leafs a little bit earlier, and speaking as a Toronto fan who grew up during the Ballard years, I have no issue whatsoever with you taking pot shots at the team.
Okay, Aaron, there's
yeah.
no need for us to air our dirty laundry, okay?
I apologize. I know Ballard's a bad word to Leaf fans, but, you know.
Well. I don't know if the girls know who Ballard is, although, well, no, Heather, sorry, I don't think you're old enough to know who Ballard was, even if you were, he was the owner of the Maple Leafs, and he ran the team into the ground, but at the same time,
he had a pathological hatred of European players, and this was back in the late 70s, early 80s, when the first major influx of European players started coming into the league.
Wow.
There were.
And then he break out them all, so it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he made a concession. He picked up Boreas Salming, he picked up Peter Inacek, and he picked up a couple other guys. This is going way, way back in history here. That pretty much sums up the Ballard years.
Oh, no, it doesn't. I got a story about Ballard. Ballard owned the team for, I guess, let's see, at least 20 years before he died.
Yep.
And I used to have a sports show, and it was a three-hour sports show, and I had some reporters and cameramen would go out and do stories. So one of the guys went, and it was my birthday that night, and he goes to Ballard, and he says, Frank's birthday, you want to wish him a happy birthday? And you know, I'm only here on Blog Talk Radio. He says, I wouldn't tell that fucking wop to jump off a cliff. Basically, Pat Killeen is the reporter. He comes back. He says, Frank, I tried to get him to wish you a happy birthday, but I don't think he likes you.
Wow, I feel bad for saying the word boobs now, so that's good.
I know. You said boobs. I said butt. I don't feel so bad anymore.
No, don't feel
I know,
bad.
Right?
Also, Heather, by the way, don't ever be afraid of your butt. You're developing what's called a hockey butt. That is never a bad thing.
You know, I had that before.
They really do. They have men and women hockey players all have the best tonus bubble butts. I will give them that.
And it's awesome. And
thank
it
you.
Looks great in the thong. And I'm speaking personally here. My girlfriend loves
Are you talking about the guy hockey players now?
Well, my girlfriend loves my hockey butt. Are you kidding me?
You know what? Heather and I were just down in West Palm doing some commentating for Major League Hockey, and they even said when we go out there, because we had the European teams with us from Finland and who was the other one, Heather?
Sweden. It was Sweden.
And they're like, do not go to the beach with the European teams because you're going to have 30 men showing up in a Speedo because they do not know any better. And I was like, I kind of want to see that.
So, I'm very Paul Bissonnette. He runs around town in a Speedo, too. So there's that.
Okay. I know I'm not hanging out with you guys, that's for sure, because it would be, you know, the problem with me is you wouldn't see the Speedo.
Oh, no.
Dunlop's disease. His stomach's Dunlopped over his belt.
Okay, let's turn a little serious here and let me move on with some of the subject matter. So our hope is that the Toronto Rock, basically say goodbye to the Toronto Rock for this segment, get this segment out of the way. The Toronto Rock, the hope is that they have a good year. The tickets are available. Give the phone number, please, Aaron.
Sure.
Anybody who's listening that wants to buy some tickets.
Sure. You can reach the Toronto Rock at 416-596-3075. That's 416-596-3075. You can also go to torontorock.com to order them online. And you can also go through the Air Canada Centre box office at Union Station to get tickets.
All right. So we're going to take a short break again. And, hey. I got a good tune here, Aaron, for us to use with the Rock. We should suggest it to him.
Go for it.
All right. And ladies, on the hour, we'll have a longer break, so you can get yourselves a drink or something like that. And just let us know when you're not near the phone so that we don't say anything to you. But here we go. This is a little bit of an intro.
The Bikini Hockey League, the ultimate dream team, on a quest to show the most compelling sport of our time. They are ready. The players are ready. Are you ready? The Bikini Hockey League. Building not just a team, not just a league, but an entirely new sports experience. Follow the league as it works through struggles, triumphs, and reality.
A hockey league coming to Tulsa is turning heads. That's right, the girls will be wearing bikini tops while pushing around the puck. They are on inline skates and will play both indoors and out.
And that's right. Now, for all you hockey fans, here's a tune. In a sad day a few weeks ago, I guess it's now almost a month and a half, 2 months now, Stompin' Tom Connors passed away, and he wrote the ultimate hockey song. I don't think anybody will ever be able to write a song that speaks to the game of hockey better than him. Stompin' Tom, a 2-minute and 8-second version. So we'll be back shortly.
Hello out there, we're on the air. It's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dash with skates of flash, the home team trails behind. But they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees, they travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside, it's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Third period, last game in the playoffs, too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink, and the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the
ending.
And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Oops. I forgot to turn my mic off. Oh, well. Okay, let's get back to our guests, and I love that song. I think that thing speaks to hockey, I'll tell you.
It's the unofficial Canadian national anthem.
Isn't it, though?
That and the old CBC Hockey Night in Canada theme, which TSN bought.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shakes fist, grr.
Hey, we got to be careful what we say with this girl here. You know, the Aaron girl over there, she come from the Detroit. And the Detroit.
I come from the hockey town in the Great White South, you know.
Exactly.
You can see the Russians from your house.
Donna, she has to get on her roof.
There are a lot of Russians in my neighborhood, though, back in the day. My dad used to live by a couple of the wings. So back when I, Fedorov, Fetisov, Konstantinov, Kozlov, all of them used to live within, I think, like a 5-mile radius.
Nice.
I know.
Now I'm officially jealous.
There you go. What are you,
and
a Detroit?
Then party, too, but then he had the gambling problem and went and get bankrupt and moved away. So that was unfortunate, but he was a great guy still.
I'm a closet Wings fan only because they've had more recent success than Toronto. I get sick and tired of my friends in Philadelphia.
Oh, you could be a fan of anybody.
Trying to at least get eliminated. Saying, hey, I had another one of those years.
Aaron.
Yeah.
And I mean the double A Aaron, because realized we have a problem.
That's
tricky.
We have
the double A Aaron and we have the E Aaron.
Frank,
go by the name
on the back of my jersey. Just call me Meat.
Okay, I'll call you Meat. That's the back of his jersey. That nickname is Meat.
Well, it's actually Meathead.
Boy,
but,
I'm not even going to say a word about that.
Meathead.
Oh, no, I'm a lacrosse goalie. My nickname is Meathead. It works.
I love goalies.
Well, okay. I was just going to say that it's funny that your statement of why you like Detroit is because they have a better record than Toronto. I mean, who didn't have a better record than Toronto in the past few years?
This is true.
So I think there's more to you all of a sudden being a Detroit fan than just being better than Toronto.
Trust me, you cut me, I will be blue. I will bleed blue and white. But
okay, I'm a Toronto fan because I'm born and raised here, so I love the city. I haven't been too enamored by the practices of the team in a very long time. They haven't done much over a lot of years. But at the end of the day, I love the game of hockey. And I was really glad to talk to these ladies about the game of hockey. Aaron with an E, and Heather with an H. And I guess it could be spelled a different way. Now, ladies, you obviously talked about your roots of hockey and how you came to love the game of hockey, where you've played. Now, before the break, you made wisecracks about eyelashes and makeup and stuff like that. So do you guys really get dolled up? Like for the game?
100%. 100%. I mean, when we were in Tulsa, every morning the creators would come to us and be like, okay, we're making a CVS run. What do you guys need? And, you get a lot of, we need icy hot, we need ace bandages, all the things that athletes might need after they've been practicing really hard. And I'm like,
that was a big one, the breaking and skate.
Yes, breaking in the new equipment. I'm like, I need more eyelashes because I did not anticipate enough that I'd be doing eyelashes on everybody. So we need some makeup, and it was just part of everything.
A lot of it too was covering bruises and stuff too for the camera. Guys, Heather taking slap shots. I know I accidentally chipped a girl's tooth, but
I couldn't fix that.
You say accidentally? I know you're from Detroit.
Yeah, I'm used to that. So.
There's nothing accidental about a tooth chip from somebody from Detroit.
Bob Probert was my favorite hockey player of all time. All right, so,
I'm sorry, I got to take Tidomi over Bob. As much as Bob was awesome,
Bob was great. I love Bob Probert. He was my favorite hockey player, I think, since I was 4 years old. So it was a sad day when he passed away.
It was a very sad day. I'm actually glad, however, that he did make the transition not only to LA to help Wayne out, but the rest of his career. They say what you want about the guy who is mostly an enforcer and who Stu Grimson absolutely adored. The man had a heart of gold. He really did. It was phenomenal.
He really did. My first memory, my dad took me out to skate with the Stars with the Red Wings when I was really, really little, and I hardly came up to his kneecaps. And I went on the ice, and I followed him around for about an hour and a half. And he just looked, and I would not give up. And he finally turned around and picked me up and skated me around for a little bit. And
aww.
I thought it was like, ever. And he's like, told my dad, he's like, she's been chasing me around forever. He's like, she's idolized you. But he's like, I don't know if I'm the best role model or not. But, I mean, I loved him, and he was the nicest man I could have ever met. So I really, really am sad that he passed away.
Well, hockey players have a tendency of having a different kind of personality than many other athletes. And I'm sure you realize that.
Oh, definitely. And I always say, too, hockey players are a little bit weird. Female hockey players are a little bit more weird. And then we're crazy enough to do it all in a bikini. So, you know, there's – but you know what? Normal is boring. So I love us all to death. So I can be
that's happy. Right. Normal is – I always say that hockey players – this is, like, my big thing. Hockey players are like puppies. They're so fun to play with in public, but – you bring them home, you better expect them to pee on the carpet.
I'm not that bad. I'm potty trained, I swear.
Awesome.
I live in a house with five women. I sit down whenever I do anything.
You don't have to put the seat down later. Oh, you lazy
absolutely.
Booger.
No. I care about the women in my house, Aaron.
You're just lazy. Admit it, Frank.
It's true.
It's true.
Okay, so we started talking about the makeup, and you both have had experience in being models, which to me, you know, models. I guess models. I don't know many models, so you're gonna have to help me here. Are a lot of them athletic, like you guys?
You know, there's a big mix of them. Some of them are, and some of them, like, I'll get so frustrated with, and I always preach, you know, healthy eating and living and nutrition. And then there's girls I'll go and work with during, like, fashion week out here and stuff like that, where I'm like, okay, we're done. And who wants to go get, you know, a sandwich? And I've had somebody tell me, they're like, no, I'm good. I had an apple today. And I'm like, I want to ring them around the neck. I'm like, that is not a meal. Like, that's not anything. But,
right.
I mean, it just drives me nuts. So there's a big mix of it. And I feel like, oh, like, the thing is, too, and you look at Heather, and for Heather's age, she's probably the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. She looks 10 years younger than she actually is. And a lot of it is, like, you know, healthy eating and wellness and exercise and fitness. And I've seen women that are, you know, years younger than me, and their contracts aren't getting renewed because they're just so hard to their body, and the starvation and the things that they're doing to it is actually aging them. And I feel so bad for them, where I'm like, if you can actually just, you know, you work out and use fitness and eat healthy, that it makes all the difference in the world. It really does.
I could have said that better.
Is there a brittleness to the fact that, you know, especially playing a sport that's contact like hockey, you really do need to have some body fat on you.
You really do, and strength, and muscle weighs more than fat, but I think, like, a lot of it's just strength and muscle. And there's always something called Photoshop. It's a beautiful thing. So,
oh, yeah, I love it.
But, yeah, but the thing is, too, is that, like, they used to yell at me about the bruises and stuff, too, and they're used to it because, like, I have tattoos, and there's this great little thing called Temp-2 that they use, and they can airbrush anything on your body. They airbrush my tattoos. They airbrush, you know, my bruises, and, you know, you can Photoshop off anything if they don't like it. So it's a nice little tool to have.
I think it's important, too. Like, I think it's very important to mention the young girls. I mean, we keep talking. I don't mind saying I'm 40, so if anybody's afraid to ask or anything like that, I just turned 40 last week. But I would like to say that for all the young girls out there, I work in a salon, and so I do work on a lot of young girls. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'd like to be thinner. And I really try to get the message out there that that may be what you see on the runway, but when you see those women in real life, a lot of times they often look a little too thin. And I might joke about outgrowing my, you know, my tailored outfits when I don't skate for 2 weeks. But bottom line, I still look in the mirror and think, oh, God, no, I'm still on the upper half of the bell curve. I'm not going to the rink to get back into those tailored clothes. I'm going back to the rink because I love hockey, or I love skating, and I love feeling good. So I think it's really important as athletes and models that we get the message, like Aaron was saying, where it's about health. It's about feeling good because you're playing a sport and you're doing something productive, and feeling strong. Because if you can't feel strong physically, I don't know about that, but for me, it's really tied into my mental strength as well. So I don't want to be frail and weak and tiny.
You know, one thing I noticed too is that the hungry models are always very angry out here.
They're so bitter. They need a sandwich.
They
need some donuts.
I just want to go buy them a cheeseburger a lot of the times. So be like, here, let me help you.
That's right. I want to buy them cheeseburgers, too.
I got to be honest, it's so refreshing to hear you ladies say that. A lot of times guys will joke about it. They're like, look at her. I just want to force feed her cheeseburgers because it just doesn't look right. It's so refreshing to hear other people actually have the same perspective and realize that being uber skinny is not always the way to go.
It's gross. It's gross. I tell my young girls all the time, I'm like, listen, maybe this isn't the role model you should have. It shouldn't be about Playboy and Playmates and things like that. But if you're trying to be skinny for you, well, then I can't help you. But if you're trying to be skinny for a boy, let me just tell you, that's not what they want to hug and kiss. So that usually helps fix the problem.
That's really true. I'm like, I find that when I have more meat on my bones, that I get more attention from the opposite sex than when I'm actually thinner.
Well, you know, there's three parts of the body that get most of the press, if you will: legs, boobs, and butt.
Yep.
But I'm a fan of the smile, and each one of those things requires some flesh, you know, more than just flesh and bone.
Absolutely. The thing is, I'm a big fan of the smile and good teeth too. And I realize that most of my hockey player friends, all their teeth are fake. I'm lucky that I have all my real teeth. But a lot of the guys, I'm like, wow, he has a great smile, but then he'll go and pop them out. I'm like, I had no idea.
I was going to say, if it's great teeth, then I'm out.
That's okay. As long as you can put some in, we don't care. Because I put on eyelashes. I'm like albino without. So.
Well, we can also, I don't know whether we should get into the other tailoring of ourselves that we
I'm
talked
down
about,
for
Heather.
Whatever, just so Heather,
I know you. I know you are, Heather. But I'm thinking that Aaron with an E's there, and I don't want to cross any lines that are uncomfortable. I know, because we didn't originally. I'll be honest. This interview has blown up. Thanks to Heather. Thanks to Heather and to Aaron with an E. They both have cooperated and even said, and especially, well, Heather said, I'll talk about anything. Now you're even willing to talk about the whoopee cushions that are imported.
That's right. I mean, my wrist is teeny tiny. Very few girls that are super, you know, thin naturally end up with boobs my size. So yeah, when I was 23, these are vintage boobs. I got them and I love them. I'm happy with them and I don't regret it one bit.
No, mine are real. I'll give them that.
Yeah, those are real. Those are beautiful boobs. I've seen them. They're great.
So Heather, yeah. What you're saying, technically speaking, is according to standard and car terms, they're classics.
They are classic boobs. I have classic boobs.
And they have held up amazing. She has amazing boobs. I love them. So I think
Thank you.
So the boobs on the show today are all in really good shape. So
yeah, we have
everyone.
Good boobs.
Now that we've talked about yours, girls, how are yours, Aaron?
Yeah, Aaron, how are your boobs?
Oh, my man, no, boobs, man. Damn it.
I'm using one of my daughter's training bras.
No, I'm actually ramping up my training right now for the Warrior Dash, so that's going to be interesting.
Oh, wow, how fun.
That's exciting. They're doing a zombie warrior dash out here. I was thinking about doing that. Sounds a lot of fun. I think those are so cool. Those and the Tough Muddlers.
Now, you're in the Detroit area, so that means that you're going to have run for your lives before it comes.
I'm actually in Brooklyn, so it's just as bad, all right?
Well, either way, Aaron.
Apologies. I forgot you're in Brooklyn.
My mom even said, she's like, you're moving to Brooklyn, it's safer. I'm like, Mom, we're from Detroit. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're fine. So, oh, gosh. Yeah, but they're doing it, I think, down in Jersey. They're doing, like, a zombie one, and they're doing a Tough Muddlers. And I really would like to do that because I like getting down and dirty. And I think, like, just, like, courses like that makes running a lot more fun because just running a straight path is boring.
Ew, I do not run. I do not run. It's not good on the classic boobs. I just hate running. No, thank you.
Then you won't like my suggestion.
What's that?
Then they have those, the runs, what are they? The war game runs, the ones where obstacles and the obstacle races. that are getting really big now that people are paying, and then they wait, they sign a waiver, they climb under, they roll under or drag themselves under electrified fence.
No thanks.
Tough Mudder.
Yeah,
Tough Mudder is the one with the
electrified
fences. Warrior Dash is the one with the barbed wire and the fire pits.
Then there's
Race, which is pretty much the same deal. But Tough Mudder is different because that's 11 to 13 miles, and they change up the obstacles.
Absolutely.
I think they sound so much fun. They really do.
Okay, I'm
like,
getting a side cramp just thinking about it. I would only do it for, like, charity or something. Ugh, or if someone was chasing me with a knife.
Well, here's the other bonus for the women. At the finish line, they usually have firemen hosing people off.
Hose the firemen off?
Well, you can't hose the firemen off, unfortunately. No, they're there to hose you.
After they've seen how they're running, they might have to hose them off. So I don't know.
I have not, I have not known many women that run by a fireman's hose.
I don't really want to ask them for their hose, you know.
Okay, we're starting to really get down, like you said, down and dirty, I guess, right? We'll take a little longer break now because I need one. And this one here is a story, and I'm sorry, Aaron, with an E. I don't know that it concluded you, but it's on Fox Channel 10. I'll let you folks listen to Fox Channel 10 doing an interview, and Heather was one of the people they spoke to. And you'll get an insight to her personality. The reporter did a very good job of capturing.
I was actually behind her doing slap shots during this interview, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, okay, good. Well, this is just the audio version. Nobody can see anything, but I think the audio helps explain the Bikini Hockey League. We'll be back right after this. It'll be 4 minutes and 44 seconds, folks, if you want to take a break. This is a good chance to get a drink or something to think about. I don't know.
Loved this sport as a kid. I loved it. We played it on a tennis court. Loved it.
You
roller
wanted
hockey.
To start the whole newscast with this.
Yeah. Well, roller hockey can be tough. It can be brutal at times. A lot of high sticking. That is not stopping some kids, girls, from taking the floor and showing off their skills.
They are kind of like kids, probably, when you compare ages here. They are showing off their bodies. You see, this is a bikini hockey league, and our hockey expert, and we mean that, Kristen Keogh, met a local woman who says this sport is the next big thing. They might even draw bigger crowds than the Coyotes do occasionally.
They just might. And wait till you see their outfits, and you'll definitely be thinking that. But you said that kids, and then maybe comparatively they may seem like kids, but that's not true, actually, because the woman that we met from Scottsdale that plays in the Bikini Hockey League, she's 39 years old, and she is the oldest member of this league. There was even just a reality show shot about the BHL over the summer. Some of the women are 19 years old, but she is proud to be 39 and representing as a member of the Bikini Hockey League. Check it out.
Heather Josie Moore admits that when she first heard of bikini hockey, she had to laugh.
And I kind of thought it was a joke. It's like, okay.
But the 39-year-old quickly realized it could mean more time playing her favorite sport. So she auditioned for the new Bikini Hockey League.
I kind of worked the whole angle of, I think you guys need me because you need an old lady on the team. So that way if it does go to, you know, syndication, they could market products like wrinkle cream and whatnot.
She landed a spot on the team and headed to Oklahoma for filming. The mom of one is naturally nurturing. Tonight, she even took the time to teach me how to play.
I'm just playing it real slow for you. Oh, see, that's good.
But Moore says those motherly instincts also make her a mean defender. You can see during filming, she took a shot to her bare belly to defend the net.
I don't know what came over me. I just rushed in front of that puck and flexed and stood there and took it. And luckily, it fell to my left side, and I'm a lefty. So everyone was so shocked and thought I was going to, sit down and cry or something.
Moore believes that bikini tops and beauty will get viewers tuning in, but it's the true talent that will have them coming back for more.
They're going to see so much, and I think everyone's going to forget about the bikinis and just start noticing the camaraderie and the hockey community, which it's all about.
I don't know if anybody's going to forget about the bikinis, but Heather does tell me that since she started playing, she gets to eat whatever she wants, because all that practice keeps her in such good shape. John Kerry, I know you got to have a lot of questions.
I have a ton. First of all, I'm not kidding. This is not condescending. I was amazed at the skill.
Yes.
Stick handling. They were talented.
They are really good, and that was actually a point that Heather made. She said she's actually saying that she's the least talented person on the team. Her personality takes her very far, as you can tell, but she says everyone is going to be absolutely floored to see how well these girls actually go out and perform as athletes.
Yeah, John's not kidding. His first comment was on the skill level. His second comment, now that's something I'm not going to go into.
Well,
we can't say that on
TV. I
wonder
where the season ticket package is. Can I buy this in advance?
You know what? You're going to be able to watch it in your living room at some point.
Oh, no. Wow. I'm sure the whole family will gather around for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if your wife allows
you to. One of the things we said that we can repeat on TV is how, and I got to ask this as a woman, because I like to wear a bikini occasionally, how does everything stay put, if you know what I mean? They're moving around pretty fast. Do they use tape?
They have a company that provides their bikinis, and I have a feeling that that is something that is handled during fitting. There might be some tape,
handled carefully.
Some safety pins.
1,001 uses for duct tape.
Yeah,
found
reversible
one,
tape. Yeah.
It really is amazing, though. She's 39 years old. She has an 11-year-old.
Wow.
And she says they actually started playing together. She started playing when he was 9, and it was one of those things where he would play the sport, and she would try to talk to him about it, and he would say, well, Mom, you got to play to get it. So she did.
Okay. I do have one more quick question because we're getting wrapped. Is the goalie a woman as well who looks good in a bikini?
Yes.
I noticed they were fully clothed.
They all look good in bikinis, but the goalie gets to be fully clothed. And even though she was, Heather still stepped in front of her with a bare belly.
Yep.
She's a good player. Tough.
Man.
Ladies.
Yep, an impressive interview. And by the way, congratulations on that interview, Heather. And it must have been fun doing that interview. Let me bring you back in there. What I've done. Oh, here we go. Yep. You heard my question, right?
Yeah, I did. It was a lot of fun. I was really honored to be a part of that and have them, you know, focus on me and my community. And especially because the thing that, as a hockey mom, that I like to focus is, it's about hockey in the desert, and we don't really quite get enough credit, but it's very, very popular here. I have, within about 30 minutes of me, I can go to, let me think right off the top of my head, 6 different rinks. So anything that gets hockey attention for our little valley, I'm excited to be a part of it.
How stressressful is it for the fans because this was, again, another reason why I wanted to talk to you, because you know, here in Toronto, we're kind of stuck up because we think we know everything about hockey. Oh, we love our hockey. We love our hockey. We got a full arena. We can't sell enough tickets. We sell too many. You know, we can't find enough tickets. And look at those poor folks in Arizona. They can't find enough people to watch a hockey game. How do you feel about that?
You know, it's a really tricky situation. The arena is actually placed in a terribly inconvenient location, which should not even matter as a real hockey fan. But our valley is really, really spread out. Everybody owns a car here. Everybody owns a car because the public transportation system just does not go as far as it should. So there is a bit of a transportation problem. I don't think that the attendance in the games affects, I don't think it's indicative of how the fans feel about the Coyotes. And we're very fortunate that the Coyotes practice at the rink that my son plays out of. So I think we might have mentioned when we were chatting before that we're very lucky that our kids at the rink we play out of get to see the Coyotes on a very regular basis. On Friday afternoons, I skate on the adjacent ice with them while they're practicing. So, you know, they walk by, and our kids, it's just like part of our family. My kid plays with their kids, and, you know, it's just very easy to be like, hey, Shane Doan, you know, what's up? It's not a big deal at all. So they're very humble players, and we really love them. So the thought of losing them breaks our heart every year.
You know, it's a lesson that's been learned in many places. I mean, even in a hockey-mad town like Toronto, they put the hockey rink downtown where most of the access by rail, by car, you know, by transit,
mm-hmm.
that's where it is. And they did that with the Rogers Center, which is where our Blue Jays play. You know, so I think a lot of people realize that. And I don't think many people realize that that's a handicap. I guess what, about 60 or 70% of the people that live in the valley are at least 40 minutes away?
Absolutely, at least. It's so far west. It's really on the outskirts of town. So, but our Cardinal Stadium is there as well. But for some reason, we do have a predominant amount of hockey fans are a little bit more East Valley. So it's really, really difficult. And like I said, the rink that I think this is a big statement. The rink that we're at and that the Coyotes practice at and that the Coyotes, the area of town that they live on, is 40 minutes away from the rink that they play at. So that kind of speaks volumes right there.
Yep. And the thing is, you probably what people also may not realize is that I think Phoenix is the sixth or the seventh largest TV market?
Yeah, I know that we're huge. I'm not going to pretend to know the exact factor, but it is. So, you know, you've got that, it's huge, but then it's kind of in that in-between stage as well. So it's just a really tricky position for us. I just think that hockey in the desert doesn't get enough credit. You know, people assume that because it's hot, we can't skate. But I think what they need to focus on is it's so flipping hot, there's nothing else to do but go to the nice ice-cold rink and skate around.
There you go. Erin, you're a Detroit girl, so, you know, you grew up in a more traditional hockey town.
I really did. Detroit is actually known as Hockey Town. And the thing is, with our arena, it is right in smack down of downtown Detroit. And not a lot of hockey fans live in the city of Detroit, actually. You know, the burbs are just filled with it. Unfortunately, everybody, you know, in that area, a lot of them do work in the factories and stuff that are downtown. And people are used to the commute. Like, even my ice rink was on the other side of Detroit that I lived on. So I used to, you know, go and do a three-hour round trip three times a week to go to the ice rink, and I never thought twice about it. And a lot of these people, like my father even, he commutes, you know, 45, 50 minutes to work every day and then back. And I don't think for people out there, because they're just so used to it being spread out.
It's so true.
That they don't care. They're like, oh, I have to drive, you know, 40 minutes to go to Joe Louis Arena, and it's not really an issue for them at all. So, I mean, because we're just so used to it. We're out here, it's a little different because in New York, I'm like, you know, we take subways and public transportation everywhere. I have a cab driver drive me around. So that's pretty much it.
I think you really hit that on the head, Erin, because here, like I was saying before, with the 40-minute drive, and that's a 40-minute, 75-mile-an-hour on the freeway drive, if you've got that and, you know, you want to have a beer at the game, you want to be able to enjoy yourself, but we also have super, super strict DUI laws. It's a zero-tolerance state. So if you get pulled over with .01 in your system, you'll be having legal troubles. So you compile all those factors, as well as the arena that they're at has a lot of other factors that make it just very difficult to get to. I think you really hit on the head with that, Erin.
Thank you. I try.
Yep.
You guys finished patting each other in the back?
We
no, we can go on for hours.
Are you done yet?
I forgot this is your show.
I'm sorry. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
We can take it.
I know you can. Listen, I know you can take it so well. I never want to meet you because the last thing I want is a puck in the gut. I'd be using a lot of that makeup you're talking about, a cover-up, I guess is what they call it.
We can help you. We know how to do it.
Okay, good.
Heather
knows
getting geek over, so she's very good at it.
There's nothing, you know, there's only one problem with that theory, ladies. Women are very capable of hiding pain. Men are not. We're whiners.
You know what? That is so, so true. And, like, I can't even, like, go into stories about this, but women are great. Like, we are tough. We give birth, you know. Heather gave birth to a bowling ball, and she gets stuck to the stomach, and it doesn't even faze her, where men, you know, it's the end of the world. You know, like, I got a boo-boo. I'm sick. Take care of me.
Yeah.
Sniffle, sniffle. Call my mother.
My ribs from the inside.
I have a black lung pop. Yes, men are such babies when it comes to that stuff. Always.
Thank you. Now that we've established that we're wussies, Double A, you want to jump in now or what?
I don't want to get hurt. I'm allergic to pain.
Moving on further. Okay, can we talk a little bit, Erin, with an E? You don't have to talk about this if you don't want, but I know Heather does, so we'll start with Heather. And so Heather,
everything. So don't
even
have to.
I'm talking about work now. Now we talk about work. Like here,
okay.
here we talked about The Rock, as you know.
Yeah.
I told you we do football. It's the Canadian Football League. So just to set it up, none of these players, either in – well, not none. Pretty much none of the players in The Rock and barely any of those in the CFL, which is the Canadian Football League, can actually live reasonably well on the income they derive from playing the game. Now, obviously, you guys don't make a lot of money playing your game. Just want to talk about what you guys did for a living. And I know that I made a crack about Heather and her job. You know, I was describing how Heather was such a nice person, and I'm sure she's good at her job. And it turns out I nailed it.
Yeah, literally.
Oh.
Yeah, I do nails at the salon, and I love it. It gives me the flexibility to go to every single one of my son's practices and every single one of his games and be there for him when he needs me. And then also, I mean, come on, it's like an all-day slumber party. My clients bring me wine and donuts. They know the way to my heart. So I have a really good setup with my normal real-life job.
Now, you're also a beauty expert.
That's right. Yeah, I actually got that title kind of by mistake because about 12 years ago, one of the hairstylists at my salon that used to own the salon we worked at previously, the news came in and they wanted us to be a makeover team. And our makeup artist did not want to go on TV. She was deathly afraid. So I was like, hey, you just tell me what you do. I'll go on and I'll pretend to do it. And me and the local newscaster kind of had this Regis and Kelly bickering session all the time. And then I just started, when that makeup artist left, translating it into modeling tips and makeup tips that I'd learned from being in front of the camera, which kind of went over well. So, you know, there's a little bit of that involved as well.
How about you, Erin with an E?
Erin with an E, what do I do? Well, yeah, besides, you, like, you know, BHL is not, you know, playing the bills yet, I do a radio show as well, and I'm trying to be the next Erin Andrews, but till that happens, I actually work full-time as a model. I work with a promotions agency out here with IMG. I work with 3111 a little bit, and I do events, promos, anything, you know, Fashion Week. I do a lot of stuff I'm, like, the face for a couple different catalogs out here right now and stuff, too. So that keeps me pretty busy. Before I was doing that, I mean, I was bartending, managing my friend's restaurant. So, I mean, I was doing all that. But, yeah, this is my full-time job now. It's, I've been fortunate enough that it has taken over and consumed most of my time.
That's a good thing.
It is. It keeps me busy. And when I'm not doing that, like I said, I'm trying to take down Erin Andrews. So that's also a full-time job of mine.
And I'm trying to be the next Lucille Ball.
You have the voice. And you have the adorable character.
Oh, I try. I really do. So I appreciate it. Are you talking about her and Lucille, or are you talking about me?
No, we're talking about you, Erin.
I'm talking about both of you.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are both
We appreciate
adorable.
It.
No, and you know what, I guess, I don't know, you know, I don't know, I don't hang out with models, okay, so like, you know, and I don't hang out with bikini hockey players.
But you're spending like an hour with us right now, so this is kind of...
Yeah, I'm getting to know you, and hey, listen, I'm...
That's cute.
Like, when
you're
I introduced... When I introduced myself to Heather, tell them how I referred to myself in relation to you.
Well, we had so much conversation. I'm going to be honest. It kind of all blurs together, but you were so humble and so modest, and you said, I believe this is what you're looking for, that I could call you Grandpa.
Yep. Then I found out how old you were, and then I said, well, maybe she can call me Daddy, and then I went, no, that doesn't sound like we're going in a good place. So I'm going with older brother.
Oh, so perfect. Well, you're my bro.
Much, much older brother.
That works.
Yeah. So, like, you know, you meet people in strange ways, especially nowadays with Facebook and stuff like that. Why don't we take some time to discuss the experience of being pretty women on the internet, and how do you protect yourself, especially because you're out there? You know, I know, Erin, you have a boyfriend, right?
I do not have a boyfriend.
I thought you did. Okay, you're single, and Heather, you're a single. You refer to yourself as a single mom, so I assume that means you're single.
You know what? I'm a little bit busy to date, but I do date somebody, and we definitely like to keep it out of the media. So I have interrelationship on my Facebook, but I don't ever mention any names or take any pictures with that person, so it's on the down low.
That's fine, because that's not really – I don't want to get into your personal space.
No worries.
But what I do want to get into is understanding what it's like nowadays, because I'm a little bit older. You know, in the old days, it used to be that women had to worry about walking by a construction site. It's changed now. Now, pretty women or women women are out there, you know, we've got different situations. But I'm sure when you're on Facebook, and let's face it, when it comes to the media, you know, this type of media, you know, people, you know, getting to know each other and all that kind of stuff. Aaron, you can jump in any time and help me out here. And by Aaron, I mean double A.
I'll let you hang yourself, dude.
Okay, let me hang myself.
You know, I definitely want to say, it's funny you bring this up, because in our weekly conference calls and our emails, this is something I brought up to our ladies. I'm in charge of media. That's my specialty. And I brought this up. I wanted the girls to really be careful about what they post as far as where they are, because like it or not, we're high profile and they may not be used to it. Me being, you know, older, being 40, I having two posters that were out there and doing things before BHL, I was back involved, you know, in MySpace, and that was a really good education. They didn't quite have the check-in thing, but when you had events, you had to be really careful. So what I've suggested to our girls is you need to not check in at a place until, like, you're on your way out. You know, you want to pay homage to where you were, great. Check in on your way out, or if you're going hiking at night, do not post that you're going. I mean, I don't hike. Let's get real. But do not post it as you're going hiking. I mean, a lot of people in Arizona like to do that. But whatever it is that you're doing, you know, just be smart about it. And I encourage a lot of our girls, they're tough. So let's talk about, and that's something we're going to be talking about this week on my page and the BHL page. What are your other athletics? How are you tough? I mean, I did karate my whole life, so anybody wants to attack me, I'm going to take you down. I'm sorry. I've got a lot of pent-up rage. Someone said don't mess with an old person, because you're not just fighting them. You're fighting their kids, their wife, their boss, their husband, whoever's irritated them their whole life. So, I mean, you need to be safe and talk about the strengths that we have as women. You know, just not be an easy target out there.
Yeah, and that's what I was alluding to. Aaron, I'm sorry. Aaron with an E, you were going
to
say?
No, go ahead. One of the things I actually do is that I like to keep my personal life a little bit more personal. So, like, I actually have two pages out there, because a lot of times I feel that the people just want to, like, be involved and feel like they know what's going on in our lives. So I do have a bikini hockey page where if I don't know the person, I'll add them onto that. And I'll tell them what's going on with hockey and bikini hockey and my life and the things I'm doing and, you know, the shoots. But as far as, like, my personal page goes, if I don't know you, you're really not – I don't, you know, add people onto that unless I've worked with you or I know you personally or you're a friend or a family. And I like to keep that a little bit more private. I keep my dating life a little bit more private that way, too, and just out of respect. So, I mean, it's a lot more – I feel it's more of a security thing, too. And, I mean, there's always going to be the creepers out there for the most part, but, you know, it's just – you get used to it after a while, honestly, and you're just like, oh, that's cute. But, you know, I mean, it's really –
it's cute. I had to get a restraining order, but it's totally cute.
But it's just basically learning to keep, you know, and, like, not letting everybody know what I'm doing, what I'm involved with, who I'm dating, things like that, and just keeping it personal. And I keep the two, you know, the two pages distant. So that's about it.
You know what, Aaron? You brought up a really good point with that, and we suggest to a lot of our girls to do that. I tried to set up a fan page, but being that I've been in the media a little bit longer than some of our girls, everybody kind of wants to know. They just want to go to my own page and know what's going on. My son is very used to being in the media. He's used to my position in the media. So I already feel like, you know what, I'm kind of an open book. I just have to exercise some caution about where I say I am. But that was, I think it's just really a smart way to be, to have that second page out there too.
Yeah, thank you for picking up on what I was trying to say. At the end of the day, I have four daughters. So my perspective is a little different than maybe some people. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I have difficulty sometimes in expressing to them the need and the desire I have that they not be specific about where they're going to be, when they're going to be, or where they live for that matter. And, you know, and it's really tough. And as this may sound, well, it definitely sounds like it sounds prejudicial or by me saying, because you're pretty, you should have more to protect. Well, that's not true. This is a baseline thing. I'm referring to all women because, you know, I'm a firm believer of, and no offense to you ladies, there are a lot of different type of women that attract men. It doesn't have to be, you know, your stereotypical pretty. Men have different tastes. Yes, I understand about, you know, the natural tendencies. I understand about that. But that doesn't mean we ignore some of the other people in the community that should be aware of some things.
Sure.
And I think women who may not be model types need to understand even more, because I find that maybe they put themselves out there in a way that they don't realize that they're bringing harm onto themselves. So my advice to every woman, it doesn't matter. Don't tell me that you're not attractive, because you are. Every woman is attractive to somebody.
Everybody is
and
beautiful.
You need to be careful, right? And
that's
you all have
true.
To be careful.
That is so well said, and I couldn't agree more. I think every woman has their, you know, their beauty, their inner beauty, and, you know, people, we're so inundated with images in the media these days that I kind of like the fact that your inner beauty and your personality has to take over, because when you see all this and you get desensitized to it, it's like, big deal, cute girl, big boobs, can she think? Can she speak? Is there anything else to her? So every woman definitely needs to be cautious and, you know, exercise that whole security issue there. And I don't want to sound like the mom either. I know, you know, Frank, you and I are a little bit older, so like, oh, be careful. But you just got to be cautious is all.
You can't make it easy. At the end of the day, all that you have to do is make it difficult for somebody to find you. So even guys, even people, like I've been in a position where I've been Facebook bullied. And it's because I do stuff like this and I put myself out there, and
right.
I think I'm explaining why it happens. So, you know, for women who are in, and I'm doing air quotes here, I'll play my air guitar later. I'm doing air quotes here and I'm saying, just because somebody's pretty doesn't mean they're the only ones who get harassed on the internet. Okay.
Absolutely
everybody
not.
Get, everybody is, everybody has. There's an opportunity for anybody to get harassed on the internet. There's lots of ways to be harassed. So being female.
My mother, even, because of me, and if I won't accept people have even harassed my mother before. So, yes.
Wow, do they know where she's from?
What? I know. Like, she's from Detroit. She's like your height and your weight. She's a tiny little thing, but they've gone after my mom before because they weren't able to get to me, or I had blocked them. And I was like, wow.
Well, the nice thing about being a woman and being attacked by a man, you know, there's
that's a great starting statement. The great thing about being a woman attacked by a man.
I mean, do you guys know where I'm going with this, or?
I'm not sure. I'm not really.
Okay. Well, the great thing about being a woman who's being attacked by a man is a man has a very sensitive area. Go to it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's
for
true.
Sure. That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, I'm going for the crotch.
That's it. You know, that's, you know, there, you know, when it comes to stuff like that, everything's fair. Okay.
That's
so
right.
we've done our community service by expressing the fact that women out there should be careful on the internet. And most I'm sorry.
I said and go for the nuts.
And go for
go
the nuts.
For the nut.
Or otherwise known as going for the gusto.
That's right.
But yes. You know, so being a woman's kind of tough, and I'm raising four of them, and I realize how tough it is, and they're all different, and so it gives me a really wonderful perspective on women in general, because basically I'm living with four of them, and they're all different, and I can see how difficult it is for some women who may, and this we discussed, Heather, as well, that how do you deal with the women, now that we've dealt with the men who don't know no means no, or whatever. How do you deal with the women who resent the fact that you, and please, we'll never meet, so I'm not going to worry about you smacking me, but at least don't have the desire to smack me. But when you put yourselves out there, you know, because being in a bikini, playing hockey,
absolutely,
by definition, is you putting yourself out there, no?
For sure.
How do you deal with them?
I love this question, and I'm sure Aaron with the E is going to have some things to say about this, but I welcome when women are a little bit negative, or they kind of want to say, oh, are you setting the women's movement back and blah, blah, blah. I think we're setting the women's movement forward. And the reason being is that we're smart enough to know that being in bikinis is going to, number one, get your attention. Number two, if we were a bunch of bubbleheads that didn't have skill or didn't have brains, or if we couldn't boast that, you know, we had players like Erin with all her beautiful hockey resume, or D1 college hockey players or Means Athlete of the Year, I mean, we've got something to back up this fact that we're in bikinis. We also have women, almost everybody does something in their community. They're philanthropic, they're active. DHL is not their whole life, and wearing a bikini is not their whole life. So when women kind of come to us and like, oh, really, this whole bikini hockey league? Yeah, you know what? We're setting a great example because we're smart enough to get those boys' attention by saying, oh, bikinis. But as soon as you start watching and getting to know us, you realize there's so much more involved.
There really is. And I've also, what I've noticed too, is that for the most part, most of the women that I know or have met are very usually very supportive. And they're like, that
me too.
And, like, I could never imagine doing that, and it's so tough. And a lot of them really kind of respect it. Occasionally, I will get the question, and I've answered a lot in, like, interviews and stuff. I know when we were down in the Bible Belt, you know, playing and stuff like that, I'll say, I'm like, you know what, you don't have an issue with me walking down a runway in something less than this, because I do, you know, I've done a ton of laundry, I've done a ton of bikini work. I go, and you've worn a lot of the stuff, or you've looked at or wanted to buy a lot of the stuff that I have worn before. So what's the difference between me wearing it down a runway or me wearing it playing hockey?
Or even Olympic figure skaters. My figure skater friends all say to me, you know, you guys wear more clothing than most of us do. And my son, when he's been interviewed, he said, you know, they're like, how do you feel about your mom being in a bikini? He's like, well, my mom wears more clothes than most people wear to the beach. And he's like, and most people at the beach shouldn't really be wearing what they're wearing.
And your son's what, 11?
He turned 12. The wisest, smartest, probably 12-year-old that I have ever met or spoke to, I must say.
Well, I can say I'm not surprised. I'll remind the folks that are listening, you're listening to Candid Frank Live. Tonight we have Heather Josie Moore and Aaron Honto. They both play in the Bikini Hockey League, and Aaron Freelander is here. I don't know what he's doing right now. I think he might have stopped for a nap. But that's okay. We take turns having naps. He can handle his end quite well. Aaron, are you still there?
I'm still here, Frank. Just
you have a question
in,
you want to ask the ladies moving
I
down
have
the
a
road?
Question for Aaron.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, I want to know what where people can find you. I want to know your Facebook page, your Twitter, how we follow your players, how we get the word out there, because lacrosse is really growing out here as well.
Well, the easiest way to find the Toronto Rock is to actually go directly to their page on Facebook, which is just simply type in Toronto Rock. You'll be able to pop them up. If you want to be able to try to find them on the web on a regular basis, you can go to www.torontorock.com. Now, there are several players in the Rock that have Twitter handles, obviously. It's really easy to find them. All you really got to do, and if you're on your Twitter engine, all you need to do is just type in Toronto Rock or pretty much hashtag lacrosse, and you'll find one of them has posted something there.
So perfect.
They're all easily accessible guys. They're all really nice guys to talk to. The one thing that I can definitely say about lacrosse players is they are some of the most fun people to hang around with after games. They may beat the living bejesus out of each other on the floor, but once that game is done, we'll hoist a pint together, and it's all good.
I think that's a lot, but, you know, that's the one thing that hockey players and lacrosse players have in common is that, you know, especially in beer leagues and stuff, too, I'm like, you know, as soon as the game's over, no matter what the heck happened out there, they're all getting together afterwards, and they, like you said, sharing a pint together.
Yep.
Or a keg, a small keg, a pint, whatever.
Well, you know, there's some police that play in the league that I play in on Sundays, so we don't usually bring out the mini keg.
See, the thing is I actually helped in a softball league out in New York a few years ago, and it was the chief of police that would show up with a cooler full of beer every day. So, I mean, it's completely different.
That's awesome.
Oh, they were great.
I'm sure he's not happy to hear that it's been broadcast, but that's okay.
Now he'll never come back.
Well,
my apologies to the city's, to Jersey City's finest out there. So I apologize ahead of time.
Well, there was a police chief. I'm sorry, what town? I saw on the news, and I feel bad that I don't remember what town he's in. But 1998, they released a video of they made a video while the policeman made a video making fun of people who live under the overpass.
Oh no!
You'll see it eventually. It just came out. It was on CNN yesterday, and
and
he's apologizing for what they did. They made fun of people, homeless people, basically.
Oh, man.
That's terrible. So, you know, like, they're human, you know, and he had the decency to bring it out before somebody else did. He said he was going to create a police force that was transparent, and that's what he did. That's the first thing he did in to benefit transparency. He put out a video, and he said, we did this video, and I feel bad about it, and I think it was wrong, and I'm sorry. But then again, that same police force has some issues, from what I understand, also with racism. But that's another story for another day.
Sounds like the RCMP, Frank. Are you sure it was American?
Are we going to start knocking police forces now, Aaron?
No.
Okay.
I'm just looking at the RCMP's well-documented issues with race and with sexism in their own department. But, you know, that's an issue for another day. We're talking hockey and lacrosse here, so.
And
beauty.
Real quick, there's something I do want to say that somebody just sent me listening to your show right now. It's a little bio on the Toronto Maple Leafs, and can I read it to you guys? It's pretty good.
Sure.
But it says, since the last time they had an appearance in the playoffs, the number one song at the time was Usher's Yeah. Facebook was launched that year. Catherine Tappan lands first TV job, and Leafs have never played a playoff game in HD. So there's a little fact bomb thing.
Twitter wasn't invented. Twitter was new. There was no Twitter.
Yep. Facebook was launched that year, and James Van Riesemann celebrated his 15th birthday.
Oh my
god!
I thought we were getting
away from rubbing the salt in the wounds.
Oh, no, this was just sent to me by somebody, so we can thank the fans for this one.
You know, Aaron, with an E, I was starting to like you, but now, you know. No, it's okay. I'm a Toronto fan more than I am a Leaf fan, so, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Now, we talk, you know, jokingly about, you know, about some things here. Aaron and I discuss some serious subjects from time to time, and I just wanted to spend 2 minutes, just a couple of minutes, not a long time. For those of you that remember last week, we were talking about the Boston Marathon and what happened and how horrible it was. And the good news is they've captured, one of them died, the other was captured. So, you know, things are calm in Boston. And do you find it amazing how resilient people are here in North America? Because I'll include the Canadians in that. You know, this situation is dire. And what I'm seeing, ladies, is this. And I'm seeing that the human side of the people who were personally attacked, whether it's posed or whether it's just put up, it sure looks like the people who have been attacked, and let's say the young lady who lost both her limbs, she's looking at it positively. Isn't part of what you do, isn't that what it is? Isn't that what we're looking for in life? You're playing Bikini Hockey League. Forget about the bikinis. We're all looking for something positive in life. And how important is it to set aside the stuff that makes you unhappy and concentrate on the stuff that does make you happy?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't agree more. I'm so sorry to, like, super jump in here. But today I was at the rink, and there were some regulars there, and I hadn't seen them in a little while because our rink had some tournaments and things going on. One of them was a woman who was focusing on the fact that she lost 37 pounds by ice skating alone. Another one was a man who I believe he's in his 80s, and he was greeting me, and he's like, Heather, I'm sorry I haven't seen you, but the last year of my life I lost my wife of 54 years and had spinal cord surgery. And he's like, I'm now here to rehabilitate my spirit and my body. And I'm like, wow, that's what we're all here for. And so when you say, you know, as trivial as Bikini Hockey League sounds, we're all real people and we'll all bond together to, you know, this so sounds Miss America, but it's true, the human spirit, and we will bond together to get through all the different things that we need to support each other and our country for. So I'm really proud of those people in Boston and everywhere that have supported them.
one of our fellow players, Sophia Galay, was out there, and I know she's really big. She works a lot in the community, and she works a lot with Boston University. She works for their local TV station and stuff, too. And, you know, we were all worried about her, but she was out in the community the next day and helping and doing so much work, and I was so, so proud of her for that. But, like, one of the things, too, that, like, you know, Heather was saying is that, you know, I believe, like, and one of the things I want about the Bikini Hockey League just to work so much and for this all to pan out is that it's my passion, and I love hockey, and I love these girls, and that if you love your job, you don't work a day in your life. And
right.
It makes me nothing would make me happier more to say, this is my life, this is my job, and I love doing it so much every day.
And Aaron?
With an A?
Double A, double A.
I look at the situation in Boston, and I know it's tragic, and I know that these sorts of events are a great unifier. I am a huge cynic. I'm very sarcastic, and I'm very jaded about these sorts of things, and I don't want to offend anyone. But for a lot of people in the world, what happened in Boston is what they call Tuesday. And
that
I think
is very true, too.
To that fact. A lot of people tend to, you know, the wailing and the moaning and the gnashing of the teeth, and why do they hate us? They forget that not a lot of people in the world have it anywhere near as good as,
right.
as North America does. And I'm sorry, ladies, there's nothing to take away from anything from Boston, because it was a huge tragedy, and it's a great unifying event. And it's a shame that something like that has to happen in order to get Americans to kind of think about maybe working together. Because everybody is so fractured. You have the right versus the left, the liberals versus
right.
conservatives, the Second Amendment people versus the gun control folk. You have Christians versus Islam. You have the war on Christmas. You have all of this. And it's such a shame, because America is so much better than that, that you have to have a tragedy to unite people.
But Aaron,
so well said.
But Aaron, don't...
life and without people dying and injuries and crap like this...
Aaron, you're right. You're 100% correct, and you know I agree with you. But let's also remind the folks out there that there's an example here, that there's a lesson to be learned, that there's an opportunity here to understand what made, and no offense to my American friends here that we're talking to, we here in Canada take a lot of pride, much like you do. We're just not as, vocal about it. But for any decent human being out there, and I'm speaking to people as decent human beings, not just Americans, not just Canadians, but any decent human being out there, the lesson that has to be learned is that these victims have turned it around into an opportunity for them to move on to a different plan in their life. And they're not going to let the fact that somebody wanted to do something or to accomplish something to get in the way of what they feel is the end goal of their life, which is
for sure.
to have a positive life. And Aaron, I don't think many people who are thinkers would disagree with you. But here's the problem, in my opinion, if you want to get political. My problem with the Americans, and it's with the Canadians as well, what happens is in the state, in the Senate, take gun control, for example. 90% of the people in the United States want gun control, a form of back-checking. 80% of the people in the NRA, whether these facts are true or not, I can't substantiate. But if that's true, how is it that 5 or 6 or 10 or 11 states with about 100,000 people in each of them can determine what's important for the other 280 million people? That I find ludicrous, and that I find ridiculous. But that's my opinion.
My opinion on this one, and I'll get into that one real too, with the gun control, is that, like, you know, because out here not that far away from New York recently, they had the people, like, you know, the guy that came in and shot up the school, which was just horrible, but they blamed the guns. And then you go into, you know, Boston, and they, you know, they don't blame the bombs, they blame the bombers. And I come from a state, you know, like Michigan, where everybody has a gun. So, I mean, that's my opinion on that, where I'm like, you know what? The guns aren't killing the people killing them are, you know, the people shooting them are the ones that are killing them.
Absolutely.
And I come from Arizona, where it's the wild, wild west, so
I know exactly.
I know exactly where you're coming from. But in actuality, the gun laws in the old wild, wild west in the 1800s were a hell of a lot more strict than they are today.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you say that. I refer to us as the Wild Wild West, not as much as in the traditional sense, in the fact that there's so much out here in Arizona that is so different and maybe could use a little bit of, you know, review.
And I apologize. I don't want to be a dog.
We're not going to get in. We're not going to get
like that, Frankie. You know, I'm going to shoot.
We're not. Stop. Don't get in. Aaron, don't get into the governor. Okay, leave the governor of Arizona alone. Okay, leave the governor alone.
God loves
We're
Canada.
Always in controversy. Poor Arizona.
What I'm saying, right, Aaron?
I do.
Okay, so let's keep the governor out of this. All I wanted to say, and if I move this subject matter here, here's all I wanted to say, and this is all I'm going to say on this subject, is that I have to go get a driver's license, and if I need glasses, I have to wear them. I need a driver's license. If I drink and drive, I get in trouble. Regulation is a natural tendency of any government, never mind federal, never mind state. And now I'm speaking on your behalf because you guys are Americans, out of respect of you ladies. You know, federal, state, and local, right? They all have laws that restrict people from doing something that could harm someone else. And I just happen to think that anybody who can get a gun and not be responsible for that gun and not be held accountable for that gun, then there's something wrong. That's
all. The thing is, too, though, is that it's so easy to, like, get a gun regardless out here.
Illegally,
Illegally. So the people that are actually doing things the right way.
So why should we? Yeah, I get you. I feel you. I know what you're saying. But then why bother having DUI laws? You know,
I think they should lessen those up a little bit in my state, too, because having a kid in the back seat yakking at me half the time is more distracting than half a glass of wine.
I know. I get where you're coming from. I get where you're coming from. But I think you also understand what I'm saying. And that is that you know, why should we wear seatbelts?
Well, the real difference is, Frank, driving a car is not a constitutionally protected right.
No. It's not a constitutionally interpreted right.
Therefore, it's not bound by the same rules, and it's not under the same scrutiny as those individuals that would prefer to have a gun. Now, the argument I hear all the time is this. We don't need more gun control because criminals don't obey the law anyways.
They really don't. It's so.
And we agree.
And I agree,
that
but
background check.
I think it's more difficult to get
that,
guns in the first place.
Mental stability test. That they're going to go and get a gun anyway. So the ones that are law-abiding citizens, and like I have a friend that's like, what do I have to do? Do I have to like go and bury my gun in the backyard now? Like, what do I have to do at this point? Because, you know, he's a law-abiding citizen that registered that arm, and then now it's kicking him in the butt.
The unfortunate thing
again,
is to see both sides of the argument.
We're not going to win here, guys. there is nobody going to win. You know what? It is what it is. And here in Canada, let's make sure about this. And my Canadian friends.
I just love that you guys really know what's going on with our laws and our issues right now. I'm really impressed
with
that.
That's bad, for sure, yeah.
Well, we know better than you do, than most of you do.
Probably do.
No, we do.
No, not us, but a lot of people in
yeah,
general.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's the point I'm trying to make, not you specifically and not – I'm just, you know, here's the thing. I've said what I said. I had an opportunity. You guys said what you said, and I'm tempted to say something else, but I will not, out of respect for the fact that let's talk about something that's more productive. Now,
this is like going to bed in an argument.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I've just made friends with you two, and I don't want it to end in a bad way.
Don't upset us, bad gun-toting Americans.
Well, no, I it's not even that. Truthfully, it's not even that. It's that, you know, what I will say, one last thing I will say, and you guys can say whatever you want after this. What I will say is that whether Americans realize it or not, okay, whether you realize it or not, you have been raised to believe that the heroes are the ones that carry the guns. That if there's a problem with somebody, you will solve it with weapons. This is what you've been taught, and this is what you believe. And I will not dare to change your way of thinking. Because here's the thing. I love America. When I was younger, I wanted to be an American. The only reason now I'm proud to be Canadian and I'd rather stay Canadian is because there's less – and you know what? The sad part is – I'm going to teach you about our country. Our country, due to the prime minister we have right now, is turning our country into an American equal. he's turning us into the type of American where we insult the opposition, we attack the opposition. And Aaron, you can help me on this one because I'm sure you have an opinion or two. At the end of the day, society is breaking down to the point where it doesn't matter what the truth is or what the overall good is. My narrow view has to be respected, and I don't like that. I'm a consensus person. So that's all I'm going to say. Aaron, you take it from there, and then ladies, you can have your kick at the can. And then we'll move on to something better.
Canada is actually getting to the point where it's whoever speaks the loudest, the longest wins, and it's not necessarily right, and it's not the way to go. We have seen a rapid, and I don't mean this in entirely a negative way, but for a lot of people, one of the defining characteristics of Canada is that it's not America. Currently, Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister, is turning Canada into a little America, for lack of a better term. We have divisive politics. We have attack ads, which we never used to have before. I don't remember seeing a lot of attack ads in our politics. We have a Prime Minister whose Politburo basically put out attack ads against the leader of a new political party within 24 hours of him getting made the leader, which is, to me, is just absolutely ridiculous. You need to let the guy shoot himself in the foot. You don't try to do it for him, you know. But that's what usually makes me proud to be a Canadian, is the fact that we're distinct, we're different. We all love hockey. That's why you guys play it. That's why I played it as a kid. You know, we all love the finer things in life, but at the same time, there were the little differences that made us different. Now things seem to be homogenizing. Not necessarily a bad thing, but not necessarily a good thing either. And I've kind of lost track here.
Aaron, it's okay. At the end of the day, for the benefit of our American friends, what I will add to what Aaron said is that here in Canada, we have started to develop some American traits, along with joining you in war, which we didn't do before. Okay, like in Afghanistan, we send soldiers to die there, and to fight for the rights of people of another country, something we didn't do before. It's new for us. Now, I'm not going to pass judgment on that. I'm not going to pass judgment on what Aaron said, but what I'm going to say is that in as far as we criticize America, remember this, we trust you guys more than many other people in the world. Okay, so take that criticism with a grain of salt. Consider it, and I wish more Americans would realize when people criticize America from outside America, pay attention to the ones that are criticizing you because they love you and the ones that just want to destroy you. Separate.
I was just going to say that, actually. Mm-hmm. As much as we can agree to disagree, I really value – you know, you can't be, not to bring it back to Bikini Hockey League, but let's get real, you can't be in our shoes and not benefit from criticism, whether you're American or you're a Bikini Hockey League member. You've got to keep your ears open, take everything with a grain of salt, and think, is there merit in this? I think the moment you stop doing that and close your ears, that's the moment you become ignorant. That's the moment you really lose all credibility. So I really embrace seeing the forest through the trees. I love hearing other people's perspective of Americans and what goes on in our country, whether I totally agree or not. I really embrace that. So, and like you said, it's coming from a good place.
I'm glad you understand that and believe that, because it's the truth. I have family in the U.S. and I really do care about the Americans as much as there is no other country in the world. Well, my parents are of Italian heritage, so I like Italians because I like shoes. But
the food.
So I have a lot of respect for the culture that my parents.
I think
you know,
it's crazy that you said shoes before I did, and I said food before you did. But yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, we've pretty much run out of time, and I want to say that I'm really grateful that I met you, Heather, and Aaron.
Thank you as well.
And Aaron,
thank you so much.
And it really was a pleasure to get to know you a little bit here tonight. I feel like I made two new friends, and as Aaron will tell you, I made friends with Aaron on here as well. Aaron, do you have any final comments?
I do want to thank both of you ladies for listening tonight and listening with an open mind and an open heart. It was great to meet both of you. It was great to hear your views, learn about your experiences with the Bikini Hockey League. I think it's really fabulous. I think that you guys, if this takes off, and I hope it does, I wish you guys all the success in the world.
Thank you, Double A. I had so much fun doing this tonight with you guys. I really did.
I'm glad you did. Heather?
I love this. This is the best. I feel like we should like do this every other week or so in touch base. I feel like we've been to summer camp together. But I'm really proud to say that I was on this show. This has been one of the best interviews I've ever done. And, you know, not to sound, I don't know, bragging or anything, but we've done a lot of interviews, and this has been the best.
Well, you're going to make me cry any second.
Canadians don't cry. You're tough. Come on.
Are you kidding? We apologize for being nice.
I know. Oh, my gosh. I know. My last thing I do want to say is that I love Canada so much growing up that I actually learned your guys' national anthem before I did our own, and my parents would take me to hockey games, and it would be like, I'd play Toronto, and I'd be screaming, "Oh, Canada," the full version at the top of my lungs, and then, you know, ours came on, and I'd be like, So I love you guys. I always wanted to be Canadian. I always say I'm a third Canadian, so thanks again so much.
You are very welcome.
Canada's my second favorite, just like the Red Wings are my second favorite. So there, you know, it kind of works like that.
Thank you, Erin. I really appreciate it.
Aw.
Okay, guys, it was a pleasure. And let me. What was I going to say? Oh yeah, I know how to play the American national anthem, but not the Canadian.
Oh wow. I can sing it for you, but fortunately, I'm very tone deaf, so nobody really wants that.
Okay, can you? You know that? You know the joke, right?
The Mexican guy. You know the joke, right?
The Mexican that comes to watch the baseball game, and he goes back home. He says, "I can't believe how grateful those people were that I was actually watching the game. They actually sang a song to me." And it's, what are you talking about? They said, "Jose, can you see?"
That's awesome.
And he could. Okay, Erin, listen, as always, thank you, my friend. Friday nights wouldn't be Friday nights without you. John didn't call tonight, which I found kind of strange, but that's okay. We had, of course, as usual, we talked about the Toronto Rock tonight. And, of course, Erin Freelander being the guy that knows all about the Rock. And we also talked to and spent 2 hours with Heather Josie Moore and Erin Honto, both Bikini Hockey League players, and I hope you learned enough about Bikini Hockey League, and I hope you learned enough about how men and women can get along a little better. I know that for many of us out there, there are problems out there. Sometimes men and women clash, but you know what? Sometimes makeup is always the best. Thanks for tuning in.
In the crotch.
This is Candid Frank Live. Thank you for tuning in. Where's my extra? There it is. And see if you know who
this
is.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.
Before I forget, if I'm still on the air, we're coming live from the Toronto Rock on Sunday. I should have mentioned that. I just did now, thank goodness. And we hope you'll be with us. You will join Erin and I, and hopefully Jarrett, for the post-game show for the Toronto Rock. See you then. That'll be Sunday. The game's at 3, and the post-game will be after the game is over. And it'll be, where will it be? I'll surprise you. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. And to those fine two young ladies, thank you for taking the time to educate us as far as what it takes to be a Bikini Hockey League player. Talk to you later, folks.